Welcome to Action Chapel International. We are one church in many locations worldwide. We are so excited that you took the time to join us today to feed on God's Word and to enrich your spirit. We know that your life will never be the same. Now please join us for this powerful message.
Say with me, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving kindness, tender mercies. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for how far you brought us. Thank you for divine escapes for this house, this nation. Divine escapes for grief, from grief, pain, impending dangers, and all forms of disasters. Divine escapes for the sons and daughters of this house, for the fathers and the mothers. Thank you. We don't deserve anything but for mercy and grace. We do not take for granted your mercies, loving kindness. Now, in the name of your Son Jesus, let the Spirit of God, even the breath of God, brood over us, breathe upon us a fresh breath. In Jesus' name, let yokes be broken. Let chains break. Let embargoes be lifted. Let wrong perceptions change. Perceptions that are wrong about who you are, who we are, who others are, the way we perceive others, the way we treat others. Let wrong perceptions, in the name of Jesus, break. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off us right now. Let the perceptions we have about giving, why we are blessed, why we are where we are, and we are who we are, let all those wrong perceptions, in the name of Jesus, break. 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 In the name of Jesus, break. Satan, take your hands off us. Take your hands off. Take your hands off me right now. Take your hands off in the name of Jesus. Loose your grip. Loose your hold. Take your hands off the atmosphere. Let the word of the Lord have a free course. In the name of Jesus. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about perception. So pray with me. Stay with me. See, I hear you. Your perception forms your decisions. Perception has to do with how you see things and the choices you make in life. And the choices you make in life will also determine where you find yourself in life. And the outcome of your circumstances and the outcome of your life, they are all embedded in the choices you make, and perception determines the choices you make. And you are who you are because of the way you are wired. And I'm going to try to attempt to change somebody this morning. You can change. You can be better. You can be better.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee.
As he thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Protect your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart proceeds the issues or the choices or the decisions of life. And so it's important to guard your heart and be careful what gets into your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You are who you are because of the way you perceive, the way you think, forms the way you see and determines your value system in life. And you can be a pessimist or an optimist. A pessimist or an optimist. It's all built on perception. It's all built and based on perception, how one sees. You can be looking at the same thing and see differently from the man or the woman sitting next to you. There are all kinds of perception we have about ourselves, about God, and about others that are not true, but because that is the way we perceive, we are stuck in that perception. Our choices in life, the way we relate to God, the things of God, the house of God, our commitment to church and to the things of God, it's all built out of perception. Even when it comes to coming to church, whether it's going to be one Sunday a week, once a week, or once in a month or in a year, it's all built on perceptions. And people feel very strong about the way they perceive things, and you can't change their mind. But in the name of Jesus, by divine authority, I'm declaring war on wrong perceptions in this house. Numbers 13 and 33. Perception. Perception.
And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight.
Again.
And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight.
They were not grasshoppers, but they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And because they perceive themselves to be grasshoppers, their enemies saw them as grasshoppers. So the way I view you is a result of the way you view yourself. It's very difficult to understand that, but that is what the scripture says, that they saw themselves as grasshoppers and therefore they acted like grasshoppers or as grasshoppers, and therefore their enemies saw them as grasshoppers. Turn to somebody and say, what seest thou about you? And to another, ask them, how do you perceive yourself? How do you perceive you? How do you perceive yourself? It's all about perception. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And it is a problem. I watch people for the past 40 years in church. And you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the way they treat people is about perception. It's about how they see themselves. Some people feel they are so high and so big that they don't even know how to treat human beings. Even in church, they can't reach out through the aisle to shake somebody and talk to someone. They are too important. They are too some way. They are too powerful. They have arrived. Hey. We were in our eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. How do you see yourself? It's all about how you perceive you. If you think that you are everything, you're going to treat people as nothing. And if you think you are nothing, then you're going to allow people to ride over your head. The Bible said, if a man thinketh himself to be more than he is, it's a deception. So you don't have to think of yourself above what you should think of you. But at least put some value on yourself. But whatever value you put on yourself must not, under any circumstances, undermine your perception of God and who you truly are. You got to know who you are. That's why there are levels in faith and there are levels in God. And your gift doesn't determine your level. Your gifts, your skill does not determine your level. Money and favor and blessing does not determine your level. It is maturity. It is coming of age. Are you hearing me? It is the things you have survived. I told a young man yesterday, I said, young man, you are very gifted, but I'm scared of you. And he said, Papa, How can you say such a word? I said, you are gifted, but I'm scared of you. He said, why? I said, I'm scared of you because you are driven by your gift and by ambition. And ambition does not know a father. Ambition will sacrifice a father to achieve it. And I said, that is my problem with you. You are very, very gifted. You are sharp. I see your gift. And I see you are gifted, but I'm weary about your kind. Because your kind won't stop anywhere and at anything to get what he wants in life. You will sacrifice me overnight, and I refuse to be sacrificed. I've been sacrificed for too long, and I refuse to be a scapegoat and a sacrificial lamb. Jesus shed his blood for me. That is enough. Gifted people are dangerous people. Ambitious people are dangerous people. I will relate to you, but you will never come into my holies of holies. I have three levels of relationship, and that is where you must come to. I will not cut you off, but there are people I deal with them at the outer court. There are people I deal with them at the holy place, and there are others who come into the holies of holies. And you don't come to my holies of holies because you are gifted, or because you have money, or because you are blessed, or because of where you stand in society. That is not my value system at all. I value you by the things you've survived in life. Have you been tested and tried? And how did you come out? Because everybody can have money. Everybody can be in a position in government. If you campaign, election is going on, you do very well, have nothing to offer, you get position. You don't get position because you have something to offer. It's all about what you did for your party and who you know and how connected you are. That's it. Oh, perception. Perception. It's all about perception. I watch people in church and how they relate to others. Even how people relate to me is all based on perception. Everybody here has their own perception of who I am. If you ask people, so tell me about what you think about Papa, you'll be blown away. Everybody has their own perception. And sometimes I preach, and after service, when you hear people tell me what they heard me preach, I didn't preach what they heard. And I said, Lord, have mercy. They are sitting right here. And they tell, Papa, powerful. And then when they tell me what they heard, I said, Lord, have mercy. Chineke. Idima. They've carried me somewhere. Far away from what I was saying. And it's the way they are wired. It's a perception issue. Today, in the name of Jesus, I attack every wrong perception. In the name of Jesus. Because if you don't deal with it, your children will become as you are. And I know women married, and the only reason why they are not making it in their marriage is because of a wrong perception they picked up in their upbringing and from their mother. And they see men. You see, this guy said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, so were we in their eyes. And there are women who see men as trees walking. Mm-hmm. They see men some way, and it's based on their mother's perception of men. So the mother injects them, gives them a virus and an infusion, and that forms their perception about men. And it don't matter what a man does, you are always going to be seen in that light, because that is how they are wired, and they'll treat you as such. And there are men also. I had this young man, very, very gifted, and he fought a young lady and beat her up. And when I heard it, I was angry. And you know, my anger too towards him was a result of the fact that I was raised by a single mother. I find out later on why I was so angry, and I wanted to do him in. Hey, I was so mad and angry, and later I asked myself, why was I so angry? And he took me back. Your mother, raised by a single mother. And because I said some things that later on I didn't like what I said, I told him off and gave him my peace of mind. He said, get out of my office. Excuse me to say, Shegelele. That is the best I can say when I'm angry. Amen. Anyway, but that was where that anger came from. You don't know what makes people angry. It's all about how one is wired in perception. And you know what he said? He said, Papa, but she's just a woman. Just a woman. And I said, do you have a mother? How did you come here? Do you know how you came here? I gave it to him. Hey, he won't forget it as long as he lives. The way I treated him. And later on, I was checking myself. I checked myself a lot. And I realized why I did what I did. I did the right thing, but it was too much. It was overbearing. When he was walking up my office, he was trying to, and I said, don't even look back. Don't look back. Get out. Disappear. Ira, ira. Lajimo, lajimo. But it's all about perception. Let's move on. Matthew 16, 13 to 20. Matthew 16, 13 to 20. Perception.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist.
Was he John the Baptist? Please talk to me. Was he John the Baptist? But that was the perception some had of him, and they will fight and kill for that. They believe it. That was their perception, that Jesus was John the Baptist, and yet he wasn't John the Baptist. There are people in this church, they've been in this church for years. I even put my email address there, and I don't hear from some of you. Because some of you have a perception that I don't check it, it goes to somebody else. All kinds of perceptions. You've never getting close to me. Even when I try to reach you, you block me. And it's all based on the perception you have about who I am. There are people who have all kinds of perception that in this church we only take care of rich people. Rich people, where are they? Show them to me. I will stop preaching and do something else. Go on a cruise. Rich people, where are they? Because if there are rich people in this church, I will see it in the offering. I will see it in the tithe. So I'm yet to find out who the rich people are. But when I see the tithes and the offering all of you give, when it's time for tithes and I see all these people come forward, I ask myself, Father, when am I going to see the show? And yet there are people like that. If you see me deal with people, I deal with all kinds of people. It's not based on who they are, where they stand in society, or what they have. You don't know me. I deal with people based on revelation, and I also deal with people based on the fact that they are human beings, and who they are and what they have don't matter. People who are practical human beings. Those are the things that attracts me to people, not what they have. If you know the people I know, and the people that come to visit me with private jets, parking at the airport there. Security at the airport will tell you. And I walk in to welcome them, not one, not two. You don't know who your papa is. And those things don't move me at all. Are you hearing me? I don't make noise about it. They don't move me at all. I'm going somewhere, and then one of my friends said, Papa, take my jet. And I said, no. Taking your chair. Thank you. I appreciate the offer. I'm not taking it. The day I will ask you for a favor, you pay. Not right now. I'm going to wait for a needy day, not this small offers. And then you think you've done me a favor. And the favor I want from you is not small. I want something big. So I wait. I'm taking my time. Oh, please. You don't know who I am. And sometimes I see people and the way they relate to me, I can tell how they perceive me, and I laugh. I just laugh. Because you don't know me. You think you do, but you don't. You know me based on your perception of yourself. We were in our eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we. Jesus knew that public opinion was confusing his disciples. So he said, come here, guys, come here. And he didn't tell them, I can tell you are confused about who I am. He said, tell me, what are they telling you? What are people telling you? Some of you are in this church, you'll never leave. But you have all kinds of perception about me, about the pastors, and about this church, based on what you are being told by your schoolmates and your friends. You know, somebody, there's a guy here, he came to see me some time ago, and he was so upset. And I said, what are you upset about? He just went to town and fought for me among some friends. And this is what they said. They said, as for your archbishop, he has money, pa. And I said, praise the Lord. You think I'm going to say no? No. I'll say yes. And then he said, he went to a shop. I don't want to call his name. He's here. A certain shop, not Harold's, another one. Louis something. Louis Vuitton, that was the word. And that people were shopping. And when I walked into the shop, they closed the shop and put clothes and asked everybody to leave. And I was the only one shopping. And I said, then I have arrived. Louis Vuitton. And I don't know where Louis Vuitton is in London. And these people, and don't think I'm ignorant. I'm not ignorant at all. And I'm very exposed, but I'm very careful where I go. I don't just walk around, go everywhere. I don't shop. I know what I want, I order, and that is it. I don't spend more than an hour in any shop. You can't get me. About 1 hour, I walk away and I tell everybody, love you, see you at the hotel, bye, and I leave. You can't convince me. After 1 hour, my grace is sufficient. The anointing is lifted. But this guy, his friends, they believed that it was me. Hey, 14, you're a fool, giving all your money to that church and to that guy. Goes in there and they sack everybody and he shot me, Nicholas, me. And they believe it and they'll beat you over it. That was what Jesus was going through. John the Baptist, finish, put it on the screen. John the Baptist.
Some Elias. And others, Jeremiah's.
Those were our perception of who Jesus was. Go ahead.
Or one of the prophets.
And
he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
You see, if you don't form your own perception, people will confuse you. I'm just telling you. If you don't get to a place where you form your own perception of God and of the church and of leadership, your friends and your loved ones will confuse you. I'm just telling you. I know what I'm telling you. Because when I got born again, my father fought me about Church of Pentecost and the founder. Said all kinds of things to discourage me from going to church. And I said, but Papa, what is your problem? When I was living out there on Indian hemp, marijuana, doing all the crazy things, you never opposed me going to any disco or nightclub. You had no problem with me going to Condola, KTK, Watto, Pussycat, Apollo Theater, Metropole, Lido, Tiptoe. Or Orion. You have no problem with that. You never fought the founders of Orion. But suddenly, I've changed. And Sunday morning, I'm holding my Bible. I'm going to church. And you have a problem with the church I go to. I'm not going out. The girls are not coming to this. I'm not doing all those shegelele moves anymore. And instead of you to thank God, you are rather fighting my church and the founder of the church. I say, Papa, what is your problem? Perception. Turn to someone and say, what? Thinketh thou. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised when people tell you what they are thinking right now. You'll be shocked. And Jesus was not what they said of him, but they believed it. They were so convinced and they were persuaded about the wrong thing. And they'll kill for it. And that was their perception. And that is how we treat each other. And that is how we treat God. It's all based on how we've been wired. Who is influencing your decisions and your choices in life? Who has injected you what kind of infusion and various are you carrying in your system? Today I pray that you'll be rewired. Amen. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the rewiring of your mind. So you can be full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, blessed, but don't see it. Blessed, but don't know you are blessed. Empowered, and don't know you're empowered. Have everything and still be poor. I'm telling you, I know very wealthy people who are very poor. Wealthy but poor. Because poverty is in your mind. It's in your mind. It's the way you think. You can be rich and still be poor. It's all about perception. Come with me, please. To Mark chapter 8, verse 23 and 24. You know, when you deal with issues like this, you don't get the normal, go ahead, Papa. Because I'm touching a vein, you know. I'm dealing with something. I'm coming against negative elements and negative currents and negative forces and waves. I'm standing in the name of Jesus and overriding every negative current and negative force and energy in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I command them to stand down, relinquish their powers and their weapons. Somebody say, stand down and relinquish your powers. Stand down. Go ahead.
And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking.
Some of you see men as trees walking on. You see women as trees. You see women as some way. Men as some way. God as some way. It all has to do with your perception. I see men as trees walking. He spat on his eyes. That was not a doctrine. It was an act of faith. And it was a prophetic act. I was telling them at the all night on Friday that clapping of hands when you are praying or shouting or worshiping or praising God, it's not a doctrine. It's an act of faith and it's a prophetic act. So let us not make a doctrine out of it. And if you don't believe in clapping of hand, then it doesn't mean that when I pray and clap my hand, something is wrong with me. And it doesn't also mean that if you don't clap, something is wrong with you. It's all a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith, it's not a doctrine. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and he was telling me about a situation he's been through, and he was attending this church that believed that he won't go to heaven because he divorced and God hates divorce. And I said to him, you and wherever you came from and that your man of God, you are all wrongly wired. Your interpretation of scripture is all missed. And I said, do you know how many things God hates in the Bible? So I told him, go and do a Bible study. Check all the things God hates in the Bible. And there are people guilty of that, including that your pastor. He's guilty of the things God hates. Because he has done it to you too. He's guilty. And yet we'll be forgiven. And we'll go to heaven, irrespective of those things God hates that we are guilty of. But they take only one thing. God hates divorce. And because of that, you are not going to heaven. They treat you as a... They treat you as, you know, let me find the right word. Not just an outcast. It will come. That's the way they treat you. Just one. God hates divorce. So you are finished. You are going to hell. And yet God hates so many things we are guilty of every day. Common thing like sowing discourse among brethren. Proverbs 6:16. Six things that the Lord hates. The seven is an abomination. And look at those six things. God hates them. And we are guilty. Read it.
These six things that the Lord hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devise wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
All those 16, God hates them all. You know, a hand that sheds innocent blood, you know what that is? That is abortion. You know how many people are guilty of abortion in the church? Shedding blood, killing a human being. And yet they'll be forgiven based on the blood of Jesus. They'll go to heaven. But the man that divorced and remarried is a sinner. He won't go to heaven. Shegelele. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 27 and verse 28. I'm not giving you lessons, but I need to rightly divide the word of truth in this hour. Too many of you have been confused by all kinds of preachers, because some of you, I'm not just your papa. You have all kinds of papas and prophets and preachers you sow to, you give to, you go to them. When I preach, you go to them and say, so today papa said something about the scripture. I want your opinion about it. You subject what your father tells you to another father outside of your house. You eat all kinds of food. That's why you're constipated spiritually. You are not moving your bowels. Look at it.
Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. Mm-hmm. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife.
Do you know what that means? You're married, don't divorce. And if you are divorced, don't remarry. Go ahead.
But if thou marry,
But
if thou marries, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you.
I'm not giving you lessons to fool around. If your marriage don't work, it's because it was not supposed to be right from the beginning anyway. So don't put anything, don't come and deal with me based on your own perception of life because of what has happened to you in life. That's how people treat you. They treat you based on their personal experiences in life. That is how they interpret life. See you as a sinner. See you in all kinds of ways. And just because you had an issue in a particular area in life does not mean you should treat me that way. And just because yours work does not mean mine must automatically work. Everybody with a cross they carry in life. Everybody with a cross they carry in life. Everybody with their issues. And yet the Bible has not given us authorization to judge anybody. The Bible says, let no man judge anyone until the coming of the Lord. For when the Lord comes, then the Bible says, every man's doing and works will come into the light. Then shall every man receive praise of the Lord. So stop praising yourself. You know, I don't want to tell you some things. I don't want to tell you some things, but I know too much, okay? I don't want to, when I tell you some things, you backslide. But I've heard things. Preachers have come to me, I've heard things. And when people tell me things like that, I know exactly what they are doing. And then later, when I don't follow their counsel, when they take a stand against me, I laugh. I only laugh because they have exposed themselves. And because I didn't follow their counsel, they now know that I know what they are doing. So they have to treat me some way for people to think that I'm a leopard. It's all perceptions. Wrong perceptions. And those of you come to church and you hear things, you write all kinds of lies. You say lies. Last Tuesday, I was in Accra. And there was this publication on social media that I was leading government delegations to Otumfuo's palace to go and plead and beg for the mayor of Kumasi. Meanwhile, I was in Accra. And the way they put it, it's like this is confirmed. When I look at it, I said, you see, that is how they frame people up. They frame you up. Set you up. Then some congregation member will read it. and they belong to one particular party, and they say, hey, we said it. As for our papa, that's the way he is. He's on this side. And meanwhile, I'm on no side. I'm on Ghana's side. I'm on Ghana's side. And I don't need you. I don't need you to validate me because you didn't call me. I don't need you to validate me. You didn't call me. And I don't need you to believe me. I don't need you to believe me at all. Your believing me or believing in me doesn't do anything for me. It does something for you, not for me. Let's move on. Let's move on quickly. Genesis 3 and 11. Genesis 3:11.
And it said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?
Tell somebody, what are you eating? What are you eating? And that is where it is. When you eat from everywhere, this prophet is your friend, that prophet is your friend, that prophetess is your friend, and you are eating everywhere. That is a problem. You have a running stomach and you can't even remember what you ate because yesterday you ate from different places, three places, four different kinds of meals. So you don't know the one that is causing the diarrhea. You are eating too many places. Eat from one place, drink from one well. See, I hear you. Who told you that thou was naked? They were naked all along, ladies and gentlemen. Before they came to that realization, they were always naked. But you know what? The glory had covered the nakedness. So they never saw it. And Satan was jealous. Some of you, when you don't even know that your friends who advise you against your church and your archbishop are jealous of you. They see the glory over you. So they tell you, hey, this God, he's deceiving you. God is fooling you. That was what the devil told them. God is fooling you. God does not want you to become like him, even though they were like God. You see, that is what deception is all about. Fool you. Make a fool of you. That's what Satan did. God does not want you to be like him, but they were already like God. So he managed to turn them against God, form a wrong perception of God, and they lost the glory. And when they lost the glory, now God came and said, Adam, where are you? He said, God, I heard your voice. I was afraid, so I hid myself. And God said, what happened to you, son? And then he said, I was naked. And God said, but who told you you are naked? You've always been naked. Who told you thou art naked? Whose voice are you listening to? You've always been naked. So what opened your eyes? What kind of mirror are you looking in? What kind of glasses are you using? And you know something I was telling somebody the other day, I said, when you are in the light, you need special capabilities to see those in the darkness. I'm telling you. And I've checked this thing. I'm developing a message on that. The darkness and the light. It's serious. And I find out that when people are in the darkness, they can see you, but you don't see them. And those in the darkness, they don't need an eye to see you. They see you because you are in the light. But you that are in the light, you need a special eye to see those in the darkness. And that is where our problem is. Because people in the darkness can see us because we are in the light. And we can't see them because they are in the darkness. You can clap if you want to. Put your hands together. You know, the wise men that came to Jesus and brought gifts to Jesus, they were not men of light. They were astrologers. They were not Christians. They weren't believers. They had a different kind of faith. But they could see and understood the meaning of that star because they were in the dark. And there are people who are in the dark and they can see your future and your star. That your future and your destiny is bright. And they attack you because they see what you don't see. And you don't see because you are in the light. And they are in the darkness. They see your children blocking the evil eye, monitoring and shadowing your children. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. Matthew 11 and 3, perception.
And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Sorry. And he said unto them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?
You see, this is what happens with perception. And most times perception is also formed out of need. Need. When people are in need, that is where you know who they are. And I don't like needy people. And I don't like desperate people. Because as I said, ambition does not know a father. People don't know a father. They'll kill you. And I've been killed several times by desperate and ambitious people, but God kept me alive. Are you clapping? Is somebody clapping? Can you shout? Can you shout? Now, this was John the Baptist, the prophet John the Baptist, heard from heaven that this is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin, not the sins, not plural, singular, one sin, rebellion against God. That is the original sin that is different from self-committed sins, rebellion. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of this world. That was it. He had it. And he said, this is he of whom I was told by he who called me that I should follow him. He told his disciples, henceforth, follow him. Why? Because the assignment of John the Baptist is over. Listen, if you don't understand the end of seasons and times, you will be a problem to the plan of God for the lives of others. And it's something I have watched very carefully by watching the leaders who went ahead of me, that if you miss timings of God, you become an obstacle to the plan of God and to the move of God. And I see a lot of great men and great women opposing the will of God for the young generation because they don't know when their season ends to transit and move to another season and let the new generation take over. It's a very dangerous thing. And that was the problem of John the Baptist. Put your hands together and give God praise. John the Baptist job description was clear. It was very clear. And this thing happens in church, in politics, and at the business or the marketplace. People's time will come to an end and they don't want to leave the scene. It's time for them to retire and they won't retire. It's time for them to move on and they will move on. They will fight the new person who have come. They will go to some place, take your picture, kill him, destroy him. They will do everything to stay there when your season is over and when there is a blessing waiting for you somewhere else. They hold on to things and they will kill people for that. Even in the church, they are doing all kinds of things against people. And they believe that somebody is tricking them. Somebody is setting them up. Papa doesn't love me anymore. It's now some new people. So it's a chuku-chuku thing. Chuku-chuku, chuk-chuk-chuk. They are choking in the church. Oh. They are choking the church. Chuku-chuku in the church. Huh? Are you clapping? Are you clapping? Now, hear me. John the Baptist, my time is almost gone. John the Baptist was giving a job description. This was it. He said, hear, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, make ready, prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and every valley shall be exalted, and every crooked path shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be smoothed. He knew that when Jesus came to the scene, his assignment was over. It was over. And yet, after his assignment was over, he still wanted to be relevant on the account of another man's season. And that's the problem in the church. And it's the same thing in the politics, in everywhere. I don't want my relevance to be committed to your relevance. I know my season, and I walk in the grace of my season. And I'm okay. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, the relevance of an orthopedic surgeon is connected to somebody's fractured knee or leg. As long as your knee is fractured and you are in pain, an orthopedic surgeon is relevant. You need him to get it right. As soon as he operates on you and get it right, thank you, doctor. That is the end. He's gone. He don't need you anymore. And I tell people that is the way the job is. We are only relevant when people are in trouble and have a need. As soon as their needs are met, we don't exist anymore. And you must accept the job, that is what it is. And if you are one that always want gratitude, you will destroy people. That's why Paul said, we have made many rich and yet we are poor. If you know how many people I've helped, and I see them, I've helped people pour out my soul, and they don't remember me. And you should hear even what they say against me and about me. And I ignore it. I ignore it because you know what? It's part of the race. And you know why? Because I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know who called me. And I know where my reward comes from. And I have zero expectation of people. That is where I am. I have zero expectation of men and of women when I help them. So if you thank me, it is well. If you remember me, it is well. If you don't remember me, it is well. Because I'm not looking at you at all. I'm looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. John the Baptist, who told everybody who Jesus was expecting Jesus to come and visit him in prison and to release him from prison. And because Jesus was busy focusing on his assignment and didn't go to visit him, he decided to sabotage Jesus' assignment. He said, you know something? I'm not sure about what I said about this guy anymore. Some of your perception compels you to change your mind about what God have told you and what you believe. He said, I'm not too sure about this Archbishop, you know. Some of the things I'm hearing, I'm not sure about this guy, Charlie. I'll go to church. I'm not leaving the church, but, you know, I just want to mind my business. So some of you have an attitude, and I watch all of you. I watch you very well. Don't give me some credit, I'm telling you. Give me a little credit. By the time before service end, you've taken your Bible. You are gone. It's all perception. But I'm not saying that everybody is like that. Some of you have to go to work. So, and some of you, for whatever reason, you have to leave. So, fine. Said, you know, I said he's the lamb that taketh away the sins of this world. And Jesus was doing what he was called to do. He wasn't called to come. You see, in the spirit world, there is nothing like a handover in the spirit. Jesus was focusing on his assignment. John the Baptist said, I'm not sure anymore about what I told you. So he confused his disciples about Jesus. He said, go ask Jesus. Is he the Messiah or there's another Messiah coming? Because I don't buy his style. I don't like his style. If he's the Messiah, he should come to visit me and get me out of prison. But you see, let me tell you something. John the Baptist's assignment was over because the New Testament began with the blood of Jesus, and the blood of John the Baptist had to be shed to seal the Old Testament for the New Testament to be open. It was determined already before time, and he had the grace to face it. And he said, go tell Jesus, I'm not sure about him. His disciples went and they were confused. And they said, Jesus, John said, we should ask you, are you the Messiah or is there another coming? Jesus said, go tell him what you see. I'm doing my assignment. The blind are receiving their sight. The dead is being raised. The gospel is preached to the poor. That is my assignment. I'm carrying it out. His season is over. I'm doing what I'm told. And that's what I'm doing. So go tell him I'm on course. And that was it. I pray that every one of us will understand our seasons. I pray. You know, let me read one more scripture and I think I'll stop here. I'll continue on Wednesday. Matthew 25, 24 and 25. We'll continue on Wednesday at our special service and make some time to deal with the stronghold of wrong perceptions. I'm telling you, this thing is so strong, that if you don't deal with it, it will determine how long you will live and what becomes of your sons and your daughters' perception, especially when you are one that is wired with a wrong thinking and a wrong perception. You don't just endanger yourself, you endanger generations yet unborn because you think that that is the right way. Your way is the right way, and you don't care who you destroy, what you damage, to insist on your right. It's dangerous. And I pray for you from this day that you will allow the Holy Spirit to use his laser beam to rewire, to access your subconsciousness and rewire the way you are wired. Go ahead. Matthew 24 and 25.
Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.
You see, the reason why people are afraid, fear is a negative force. It's a negative energy. It's a negative current. But it's a product of one's perception, how you are wired. Makes you an optimist or a pessimist. It's all about how you are wired. It's the way you see it. I see this pulpit here as glass. Somebody sees it as gold. It's all the way you see it. It's how you see. It's how you see. The man that received one talent buried his talent. You know how many people are sitting in the church? Blessed and are sitting on blessings. Burying talents and giftings and blessings. They are burying it. They would rather bury it than make use of it. They'll bury their gifts than to put it at the disposal of others. They'll bury and sit on their talents and blessings because of one reason or the other. They have a wrong perception. And this man was given one talent. He buried it. One was given five talents and had an attitude of gratitude because the master could have refused to give anybody anything. But he gave one five and another two. And the one that received five and the one that received two had an attitude of gratitude that we don't deserve it. It is not a right, it's a privilege. So let's do something with it. And the man that received one had all kinds of problems with the master. Said, this man is a wicked man. He is this, he is that. Even this talent he has given me is a setup. Some of you, even when I give you a position in the church, you see it as a setup. Papa is trying to set me up. This is a spiritual ambushment. Then you go and see some of your prophets, your friends, and they will see for, say, man of God, prophet, what are you seeing? This is what the old man, Osibono. Was your mommy position now? Shim, mommy. Come on near me. Then he was saying, Osibono was said, too, Apple. I didn't know, to be free, huh? Johnny. Would you infiasso the hope? How do you tell her? Can somebody put their hands together and give God some praise? It's all about perception. And it's all about who you are hearing and listening to. The man with one talent buried it. Turn to somebody and say, have you buried your talent? Have you? Is your talent buried? Or are you using your talent for the benefit of the master and the giver? Look at the perception he had about his master. It was very sad. Anytime I read this scripture, I feel very sad. And that is what we have to do. Bishop, that is what we deal with every day. There are gifted people in the house who can do things to help the church and move the church forward. And we can do big things and great things for the kingdom and will go down in history as one that helped to advance the church. You know, I was talking to somebody last night in America, and they were telling me the difference between this computer guy in Bill Gates and the other one, Steven something, the one, the Apple guy. Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, you know, whoever he was, he died. And they were telling me the difference between him and Bill Gates. And how Bill Gates used his money to advance the cause of the poor and give to the church. Because his father is a pastor, Bill Gates. And the other guy used his money for all kinds of things. I don't want to go into it. Study it yourself. And what became of one and what became of the other. I'm praying that money will be in the right hands and not in the wrong hands. Because there are some people when they have money, evil triumphs. And others when they have money, good prevails. And as Mandela said, what defines the legacy of a man is not how long he lived. It's not how much money he had. But it's the difference he made in the life of others. Please make a difference with your talent. Stop accusing the giver. Stop always believing that somebody is trying to trap you or set you up. Stop believing that anytime you give, demons attack you. All kinds of perceptions. Somebody said to me the other day, he said, anytime I give to my mother, I lose money. And I said, the Bible says to honor your father and your mother. So I said, keep doing it. But this is what you do. Say in the name of Jesus, whatever is attached to my obedience to scripture, when it comes to obeying scripture and honoring my mother and my father, I negate that negative programming attached to my obedience. It's a very simple thing. And he says, some prophet told him not to give to the mother because there is, and I said, fine, your mother may be wrong, but the Bible also demands for you to honor her. So keep supporting her and block and say, I block anything that sabotages my blessings and finances whenever I give to my mother. I override that negative programming attached to my obedience and I take divine immunity through the blood of Jesus. You have to learn how to deal with these things. So you don't kill the old lady or the old man by disobeying scripture, because that also will cut your days short, and that will also give Satan authorization and audacity to sabotage your progress. So whatever the prophet said, subject what the prophet said to scripture. Don't just run the prophet said, subject it to scripture. And what he may say may have some level of truth, but you must also know how to use the same scriptures to work the word of, to work your circumstances. Please stand on your feet. Please stand. I have to stop here. We'll continue on Wednesday.
We know that you were blessed by that message, and we look forward to sharing God's word with you once again. For more information on this and many other Action Chapel International products and messages, you may visit our Dominion Bookshop located on the premises of Action Chapel, Spintex Road. Or you may call our offices on 030-701-1851. Or you may also visit us online at www.actionchapel.net. Once again, thank you for joining us today. and may your life continue to be changed in God's presence.